I'm Lisa DeLay, and you're listening to the Spark My Muse podcast. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Spark My Muse. This is Soul School Lesson 38 on depression and suicide. And I know that sounds like a really heavy topic, and this should be an encouraging episode for you today. If you're reaching out and looking for something, looking for a thread to hold on to grab onto because you're in a really dark time right now, or you're contemplating whether it's worth it to hang on and stay another day, I want to encourage you that you've found the right place and it's a sign. It's a reason to stay. It's important that you talk to somebody and reach out. When you're alone, your mind wants to play tricks on you, and it's not good for people to be alone. You should reach out right away to, if you're in the U.S., 1-800-273-TALK. TALK is also 8255, so 1-800-273-8255. You can also go online to suicide.org. And I say all that not just as somebody who's, you know, this friendly, happy person constantly all the time, but I've struggled very much with my own very dark thoughts and my own contemplation of whether or not I should stay myself. And I'll get into that more later. So I'm not just trying to give you a pep talk because I'm a happy person all the time. Being a creative person usually means that you have great highs and great lows. And so I'll get more into some of my own stories soon. But one of the reasons I wanted to do this, and one of the reasons I like to reach out and tell people that you're going to have struggles, especially if you're creative, but you're going to have struggles thinking about whether you should end it all. And there are some serious misconceptions we have out there about depression and suicide that are completely misguided, and I think lead to more deaths. I want to set the record straight about things that people get wrong about this. It's really important, I think, to get correct information out there. It leads to more deaths when we have misinformation. So if you're listening to this, I think you're going to be surprised at some of the things I say, and I hope that this episode gets passed around. If you feel ready to pass it around, I ask that you would. And I ask that you would not take your own life, that you'll just wait. Most of the time, the dark, horrendous mood that you feel will pass. And you might have been in this dark place for a very long time and you can't find your way out. And I've been there too. And if you're in a dark place for a long time, medicine will often help. And I've taken it, and it's been wonderful. And oftentimes, the mood will pass, and you'll be very glad on the other side of that, that you waited. And when you feel completely alone, and you feel like no one's going to miss you, you'll be surprised later that when you stayed, and when you look back, there's many people that are so glad that they met you. And the love you feel later on that you would have missed out on will just make you almost weep at what you would have missed out on. And when I look back at my life now, I think, wow, I would have missed out on so many loving people. I would have missed out on so many gifts and that I've received and blessings in my life. And there were different opportunities I had and times I contemplated taking my own life. And when I think about all that I would have thrown away, it just breaks my heart that I came so close to making a fatal decision. And that's something that I want people to consider really fully when they're thinking of those things too, like I did. And so one of the things we have to think about, how our brains work as humans. So we're very, very social creatures. And when we get alone, because we're social creatures, when we get alone by ourselves and we get into our own thoughts, we start to get very unhealthy and delusional. And that might not sound legit to you right now, but because we're social creatures, if we don't have other people to bounce things off of, or if we have unhealthy people to bounce things off of, we'll start to get very twisted in our thoughts. and start to get very irrational and start to think things that are untrue. And that's why usually talking to someone who isn't in your circumstances, who isn't a family member, just talking to someone who is out of your situation and hearing your own words is often enough to help you gain enough perspective that you can just step back out of your situation properly and give yourself a little time to think. And most people find that, they might think, well, I don't want to talk to anybody about my problems. I like to just keep this to myself. I'm really quiet and I don't want to talk to anybody. A lot of times people find that because they are such social creatures, ultimately this is what's happening, when they journal down their feelings or their thoughts as if they're talking to someone, or when they talk on the phone to someone about what's bothering them, immediately they gain some distance. And that distance is what allows them to think more clearly with a different part of their brain. But when we have disorganized thoughts and we're in the throes of a really awful mood or a really bad type of chronic depression, it's going to lead us towards the thoughts of ending it all and taking out ourselves. But those times of wanting to end it all, we think, well, no one's going to miss us, or I'm going to teach someone a lesson. We have to remember that the things we think will happen after we die, or maybe the people we think we're going to teach a lesson, there are all these collateral damages and all these people who get hurt who we never anticipate hurting, and all the damage we cause that we don't anticipate happening. That if we really think about it, we wouldn't want to hurt. Most of us really wouldn't want to hurt kind, good people. Most of us really are just hurting inside, and we're thinking of ourselves and all the pain we're having. But we wouldn't really want to take other people down with us. Most of us wouldn't anyway. Some of us do want to inflict damage because we feel like it's been inflicted on us. But when we think, you know, I want someone to pay, you know, we might think that. But we would want the right people to pay, not just, you know, the innocent people. But what happens when someone takes their own life, really good people get hurt, and people we never even think about who maybe didn't even know us very well. And they get taken down too. And when we have the courage to stay, even though we don't want to, and we are brave enough to stay, other people are brave enough to stay too. And we can kind of meet each other there and have strength for the journey, even though it's really, really hard. Because sometimes we have this psychic pain, this mental pain, and this anguish that's really hard to bear. Or people have chronic depression that is really hard to bear, but they stay anyway. So depression is something that happens to you. Jennifer Michael Hecht says this, and I have another episode on Spark My Muse. I really encourage you to look it up and also read her book called Stay, Jennifer Michael Hecht. And she talks about her own struggle and people in her life who took their own lives. And she talks about this struggle of depression is something that happens to you, but suicide is always a choice. It's a behavioral choice. And it's something in society that when a certain group looks like they appear to be making this choice over and over, socially it encourages that group to continue to make this choice, and then the suicide numbers go up. But if the social group decides, no, that's not how we roll, that's not how we do it, that's not how our group does it, we have a different value, instead we pull together and we choose a different way and we choose to stick by each other and just with through grit work through it, the numbers change and the social expectations change. And so the only way these numbers turn around and the only way we stick together and work things out together is by deciding that our values that focus on life and building each other up and working through it together are important. Those are the only ways that we turn this around and work towards something positive instead of just taking ourselves out and letting the chips fall where they may and letting the collateral damage happen. Because what the statistics show is that when a person kills themselves, the people around them are far more likely, because of social pressure, often hidden social pressure, that pressure builds, and the toll it takes on the people emotionally around them increases their chances many times of taking their own lives. And so this just continues and perpetuates in communities and schools, and in social circles. And the problem can get worse and worse and worse. So sometimes the responsibility is incumbent upon us who have trouble, depression, or suicidal thoughts to just push them away out of social responsibility. We don't want to take a bunch of people with us when we go. So we stay to make sure that society stays better. And I know that might sound convoluted, but it's the unselfish moves that we make that can make society better. One of the things I hope in my life to do, and I don't know if it'll happen, but I hope to leave this world better than when I came in. And one of those things is to make sure that when I'm finally done living, it isn't that I went out on my own terms and took my life, but that I end my life in an ordinary, natural death. And that it isn't that I took myself out when I felt like I wanted to because of my own selfishness. And by making that choice and living selflessly and dying selflessly, I hope that that's an encouragement to others, that even if their depression or their thoughts are painful, that they still put others first. And that is really hard. I'm not saying that's easy. That is extremely hard if you're depressed and you're in depression. But a lot of depressed people choose to stay. Depression doesn't have to lead to suicide. And I would recommend a book by Viktor Frankl. It's Man's Search for Meaning. Now, Viktor Frankl was a survivor of the Holocaust. And the things that he mentions in the book are unbelievable. That the kind of things he saw of people being tortured and gassed in the gas chambers during the Nazi occupation and the concentration camps. It is just shocking what he went through. And he talks about how did people survive in these concentration camps when they were starved to death and beaten and all the things that happened to them. And they were through genocide trying to eliminate the Jews. And he was able to find purpose in his life when people would just give up and they'd curl up in a ball and they would just die because they didn't find purpose. But when people can, as he puts it, people can find reasons to live when they find meaning, when they find purpose in their lives. And often that purpose is something that extends beyond themselves. You find purpose in making your life about something bigger than you. And that's not always going to be gratifying for yourself, but in making life about something bigger, you really often have the courage to go on. Another thing I want to say about suicidal thoughts and other thoughts that seem very, very serious. A lot of people think, as soon as they think about taking their own life as a solution to a problem, they get really nervous about the seriousness of that thought. Another thing is if they think another thought about murder or something like that. When you think about a creative person thinking about solutions to problems, all solutions are essentially viable. It doesn't mean that carrying them out is viable or sane, but all solutions are viable. It just means you think things. And humans are very good at thinking silly, stupid things. Think of your dreams, for instance. How many dreams would you be able to carry out or would ever think of carrying out? They're ridiculous. Most of our dreams are completely weird and ridiculous, but we give ourselves some credit for the weirdness of them, and we know that they're strange thoughts. Mammals, humans, primates, we are always thinking thoughts, and a lot of those thoughts are ridiculous. So when we think of a suicidal thought or a murderous thought or some other silly thought, it's important that we don't think, uh-oh, I thought something really serious, and just the fact that I thought that was serious, I can't believe I even thought that. It must be really bad. It's important to know that thinking a thought like suicide is a lot more normal than you might realize. It's important to dismiss the thought and not dwell on it. Just like dismissing a murder thought would be important to do. You know, you're going to think, why'd that guy cut me off? I wish I could run him off the road. Important to dismiss that thought and not do it, but it's really normal to think that because that's how we react in situations where we have problems. We might think crazy things. Doesn't mean we have to take them seriously, and definitely doesn't mean we have to carry them out. So just remember that your monkey brain is going to think up solutions that are absolutely ridiculous. Just have a banana. Laugh it off. Don't continue to think about those things. Just dismiss them. Because humans are really good at thinking ridiculous things. The trouble we run into sometimes is that we will think a serious life or death type of thought and then get scared and think, uh-oh, that was pretty serious. There must be something really wrong with me right now. Now, why would I think that? I must be really tortured soul. And then we'll start giving it credence and that can build. And we get this ingrown thought, especially if we can't bounce it off of someone and say, you know, I feel really troubled lately. I've started thinking some dark thoughts. And then that person, if we have a person, will say, well, tell me about it. Now, if we have a person to talk to about it, we can kind of air it out and poof, it's gone and decompressed. But if we don't have someone to talk to about it, it can build and build and ferment and get perverse. And that's why talking to someone, even a journal or something like that, if we don't have someone to talk to right away, but a spiritual director, a minister, a priest, someone, a friend, or even just an anonymous hotline to call. That's why it's so important to do these things, because as they ferment in our head, being social creatures that we are, we don't do ourselves any favors. We just make the situation worse. It's important to remember that the thoughts that jump in and out of our heads can be ridiculous, and it's good to have a sense of humor when they happen and say, well, that's something I thought. I sometimes have ridiculous thoughts, and I'm moving on now. And remember that we do that as humans. And so as way of encouragement is, if you're a creative person, you might have just a naturally melancholy personality. And I know that might seem like a cliche, like, oh, the moody artist or whatever. But there's something to be said that a lot of people I've known, musicians or artists of different sorts, will be able to feel more deeply and can tap into or routinely tap into something deeper, and they're looking more carefully at life, which means they're looking more carefully at all the joys and all the sorrows of life, and they're staring it dead on. And that can make you feel the highs higher and the lows lower. I think it's only natural to think you might be more affected. So let's think of it like this. I'm going to do a little word picture, a little parable. So say you're moving a friend into a new apartment, and you're moving them out of their moving van, and you're moving in their furniture, and you're moving in their piano. And the next day you feel extremely sore. All your muscles are just totally aching. Now, you would get up in the morning and you'd be like, oh my gosh, my neck and my back, it hurts so much. Ah. Now, you wouldn't blame your body for that. You would just know, well, I moved a friend in, so of course my body hurts really badly. But for some reason, if you were really down, you would find this strange, perhaps, but your mind is also part of your body. It's also a piece of meat. And it's safe to say that if you're struggling mentally with something, depressed or in a mood or in a funk of some sort mentally, there's very likely a reason for that as well. Maybe you heard some bad news in your family and somebody's going through something. Maybe you just had a very creative project finish up and you're on a low. It's very likely there's some reason for it, but for some reason, we don't give ourselves any kind of credit for that. We give our body some credit for going through a hard time, but we don't give our brain any respect for going through a hard time. And where we might take some muscle relaxers or some Tylenol for our body, or maybe rub some kind of Bengay or something on our body, we won't go to the doctor and say, this has been my thoughts have been really down for 3 weeks and I need some help with this. We'll just feel flawed or feel bad about ourselves or think there's something shameful about seeking help. Our brain is just as much part of our body as our muscles are. If we need to alter how we see that. Now, I've struggled with serotonin problems myself, and I've struggled with migraines, and those are related for me. And I get medical treatment for that. And I'm not ashamed of that. It's what I need to feel well. If I don't treat my migraines, I'm actually in bed for days on end. And I have to do that. It's a very serious problem for me. And it affects my function in life. And if you're struggling with depression, not getting out of bed and feeling, you'll also feel muscle aches and things too. That's fine to seek medical treatment. And that's really going to be imperative to your quality of life. It's going to affect everything in your life if your brain is affected. So never feel ashamed about that. It's just your body. Just like if your pancreas is crapping out on you and you have diabetes, you're going to need insulin shots. That's just normal. Just see your brain as part of your body and get help, the help you need. There's nothing to be ashamed about that. These are just chemical imbalances that need to be treated. And thank God that we have the kind of medical system that can provide the chemicals we need when we're out of sorts. And it might take a while for this to get tweaked and for you to find the right medication. But a lot of creative people have a serotonin uptake problem and things get out of balance. Just seek the kind of help you need to feel better. Go for that. I encourage you to seek that out. I think of depression and depressive moods as kind of like severe allergies. You can't think your way out of severe allergies. Like if you go outside and your eyeballs, your eyes sort of swell up and you start sneezing and you start getting itchy and getting red. You cannot think your way out of that. You're just having an allergic reaction. And depressive mood and chronic depression is much the same. You can't think your way out of it, even though it's happening in your brain. You just need to be treated. It's not your fault. And no one would say to someone who's having hives and itching, you know, if you just think your way out of it, everything will be fine. They're just going to get them some Benadryl, and they're just going to get them some help. And it's the same way, even though these problems are unseen because they're on the inside, they still need to be treated with seriousness and with care. And sometimes you need to have the self-respect and the self-kindness and care to get that for yourself. If other people are not paying attention to you or not taking it seriously, that you have to treat yourself well. And if that's something that you're not getting care for, reach out and get the care that you deserve. And I think that sometimes this goes back to self-loathing and thinking, I don't deserve care and I am not worthy of care. And this is where, this is a real point that I want to drive home, is that the reason why you do deserve to be cared for and loved is because you are a gift on this planet and you're here for purpose. And you're aware of yourself being aware. And that alone is a miracle. And just because you're aware of yourself being alive is its own wondrous miracle. And it shouldn't be taken for granted. And if you're listening to me right now, it's a pretty weird statistical probability that you would even be listening to me and that you would even be aware that you're aware of listening to me. And thinking about how those stats all work out, that in this great big world, out of all the podcasts you could be listening to right now, all the things you could possibly be listening to right now, you're listening to my voice, and all the things came together for that to be happening. It's pretty strange circumstances. And yet here you are, and here I am, and I'm talking into your ears, and somehow it all worked out. And so maybe there is a purpose after all. And maybe you need to make a choice and step into the right direction because there's something more going on and you have to leave room for the possibility that there's something more going on that maybe you don't realize. And there's something ahead for you that you're going to step into and see. And then you'll look back and you'll say, that was really hard. That was really a horrible time. But I'm glad I walked through that fire. And I'm glad I can look back to that story that shaped me so much and scarred me. But now I have these scars and I have this story and I can help somebody else because I made it through. Because that's my story. And I went through a lot of fire and I have a lot of scars. And I'm telling you my story now because there's a purpose to my story. And here I am telling you. And these things come full circle. I promise you. They come full circle and your story will be an inspiration for somebody else because all these things circle back around. And I know that my story will help somebody and maybe that somebody is you. So I have to tell my story and you have to tell yours. And so even when things don't make any sense and for a long time they might not and you'll be in this dark hole and you won't see any light at all and you'll have to walk by faith and not sight as the scriptures say, Even if you don't believe in the scriptures, you'll know what I mean, because there'll be times when it's so dark and you won't hear anything. You'll maybe hear just the tiniest voice. Just walk towards my voice because you can't see anything else. Just take the next step that makes sense, the next good step, and reach out for help and keep walking. And one day you're going to see some light. It'll just be a pinprick of light. You're going to walk towards it, and finally things are going to get better. And finally things are going to get better. And you're going to look back and you're going to say, I didn't think it would get better. I didn't think it would make it. But it's a little bit better. And now I can see there's some other people in the dark and they can't see their way out either. But I'm going to be able to tell them here where I am. I know you can't see anything. But if you can hear my voice, walk towards my voice. You can't see anything right now, but walk towards my voice. And you won't see any light for a while, and then you'll see a pinprick of light. And walk towards that light, and eventually things will get brighter. And you'll look back, and you'll see somebody else in the dark. They'll be crying out too, and you'll say, walk towards my voice. You have to walk by faith and not sight. And I leave you with this blessing, that if you're in a dark place right now and all seems lost and you feel very alone and you can only hear my voice, you're not alone. I've been where you are. And all there is love. And that's where this voice is coming from, a place of love. And it's important that you know that love is a real thing, or I wouldn't be making this at all. And I know that love is a real thing because it's kind of where I've been born from. Because you can't be born from hate and you can't be born from death. You can only be born from love. And I leave you with that little tiny grain of hope, a little mustard seed of faith. And you won't have it all figured out and it won't all make sense. But just stay. Just stay with me and just wait. And I hope and I pray that you will have the faith and the courage to keep on and stay. And may this guide you in your dark journey towards the light. Blessing and peace to you. To sparkmymuse.com for show notes to this episode and all episodes. There will be links to the people, books, and resources mentioned in the show, and sometimes you'll find photos or embedded videos too, and lots of other goodies.